B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haney's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Monday without football, but a lot of things happened, and we'll talk about it. It involved the Eagles, and of course, their upcoming game against the New England Patriots. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. All right, so if you watched last night's game, the Cowboys go down, which brings delight to a lot of people. But it also, if you want to look beneath the sheets, it also was a really good result for the Philadelphia Eagles and their playoff hopes, because that was a common opponent. And so if we get into a tie at 10-6, and I'm frankly, I don't even know if the Cowboys are going to win 10. I believe the Eagles will win 10, but let's just ride it out. Both teams finish 10-6. The Eagles would get the spot based on the tiebreak of common opponents. Well, there you go. So that's what that Minnesota game did last night. So the percentage now for the Eagles make the playoffs is even better than when I last week thought about it, that they're going to make the playoffs. So, Tyrone, you were not a buyer in. Now are you a buyer in?
I am not.
You're not?
I am not, no.
So you still think they're going to lose three games?
Unfortunately, I do. I mm-hmm. want to believe.
Uh-huh. Well, suppose they both finish 9-7. Then what? The Eagles still get the tiebreaker on common opponents?
No, because they then... don't. They would have a worse division record then, because they would have lost twice.
Okay.
That's
right.
Unless the Cowboys get upset.
Okay, so here it is. 10-6, they're in. 9-7, probably not. One win. I'm not asking for a lot. If they don't win one game of the three remaining tough games they have, then this team would really be letting their fan base down. I mean, I'm sorry. They should not go 0-3 in these three games. And I don't think they will. I think they have enough pride to win a game. All right. So we'll talk Eagles, but let's talk about the Sixers, because already the anti-Brett Brown people are coming out because they lost three games on a road trip. And let me just, it's too early to talk about Brett Brown. It's ridiculous that you want the coach fired after the Sixers won their first five games. It's ridiculous. All right, again, you got to wait for a substantial sample of this year to determine whether the Sixers are good or bad. Now, they're good. We know they're good. They had a tough road trip. Here's the thing I do not understand. And somebody's got to be accountable for this. How about the player being accountable? Tyrone, I know you love Joel Embiid.
I don't love Joel Embiid. I just like him more than you, who likes him very little.
No, I like him a lot.
There's no proof of that.
I like him a lot. I think he can be a dominant player. The fact that he is out of shape in this season already is ridiculous. He had a whole offseason to get himself in shape. They demanded that he get in shape. All we got was propaganda about him having lost weight and being in better shape, and he's gassed already. That is flat out ridiculous to me. Ben Simmons has flaws in his game. He's not out of shape ever. Your thoughts?
One, he was rehabbing in the offseason. Mm-hmm. He did lose weight, but you can lose weight without being in better shape by improving your diet. Mm-hmm. He did do that, but they currently have this system that I don't know if it's going to work or not, but it's this, they're holding him back physically with the hopes that he peaks later in the year. I'll see if it works, but so far, it's been tough to watch.
I can't roll with the... we're going to have him peak. he should be in shape at the start of the season. Should be. I know he's rehabbing. He had to get himself in better cardiovascular shape. It's ridiculous that he's gassed at the end of games. I can't put up with that all year.
Oh, I agree with that. He wasn't the only one gassed.
I get it, but he's a star. He's a star player. You can't have your star player be like that. Star player's got to dominate. Star player's got to be like, you remember early on in Dwight Howard's career where he was relentless every game? That kind of relentless, in shape, athletic type.
You should probably pick a guy that won something.
Well, no, I'm talking about his early. He turned out to be a mutt. But what I'm saying is early in his early days with Orlando, nobody ever accused him of not being in shape.
But Shaq won multiple titles playing his way into shape. Multiple titles. So I would go with that. I think that's possible because I've seen championships that way. I like that way. I don't like the Dwight Howard no championship way.
We already know what held Joel Embiid back. We didn't know what held Shaq back, because Shaq never was held back, all right? Shaq was never in this kind of situation where you go, oh, my God, he's out of shape, he's hurting the team. When did that ever happen with Shaq?
I'll print out 27 articles that were written about that.
Yeah?
That's literally why Kobe and him had a falling out. It's a thing. The difference was they worked out, and then they won championships at the end.
You and I look at this differently. In this day and age, I think Embiid not being in shape is disgraceful.
I'm not surprised you think that.
All right. See, you're playing me into a corner I don't like.
That's the real corner,
no, it's
Mike.
Not the real
when
corner.
It comes to Embiid, I feel like that you do evaluate fairly, except you have a Ben slant. So with your Ben slant, I think it takes heat off of Ben.
I don't have a slant
to be
for
mad
anybody.
At
I've been ripping Ben for how long? I'm the one who said he wasn't coming back with a job. Everything is equal to me. I don't play favorites. When I see something that I think is egregious, I'll say it. Whether it's freaking Ben or whether it's Embiid.
Okay.
All right? Flat out. And what I see now is a guy's out of shape. What I see of Ben Simmons is he's not shooting the ball. I'm worried about it. All right? I'm an equal to opportunity ripper.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit here and say the guy's out of shape and I'm going to have to allow for him playing in shape and they have some kind of a plan.
You know what I'm going to do?
I need it right now.
I'll do the same thing you're going to do. I'll be mad at Embiid at 25 games. Like, you'll be mad at Ben at 25 games.
I'm talking about being in cardiovascular shape to play an NBA season. What player would you look at and say, oh, he's allowed not to be in shape at the start of a season?
I'm listening. If the doctors have a sports medicine plan for a player to ease into a season so that they peak later, I'm going to wait and see if it works before I get mad. If it doesn't work, I'll be really mad.
All right, you believe in the plan. I believe in the guy's personal responsibility to be in shape.
Okay.
All right, so that's that. Now, the Korkmaz thing. I know, you're just waiting to hammer me. Korkmaz had a few good games. I get it. We shall see. Listen, I hope the hell Korkmaz turns into whatever you think he's going to turn into. Believe me, I'm a Sixer guy. I would love to see Korkmaz be an important player on this team. It remains to be seen whether he will. I'm not a reactor to a few games. I'm sorry. I never have been. In any sport, you can trace my opinions on sport. And you'll see that I don't overreact to temporary success. If he does it the whole year round, I was wrong. But let me tell you something. I happen to be 100-0 when it comes to determining whether guys can play or not. Now, if I'm 101, then I'll take the L. But so far, my track record's been pretty good. Again, I'm not rooting against the guy. I hope that what you see is true. That he's going to be a viable substitute who can provide offense off the bench. I'm not convinced of that yet. But I got to take a back seat. Oh, you Korkmaz guys, you're riding high right now. I think it's great. Corky doodle. I think it's wonderful.
Why are people so anxious? He's become every dribble, every shot, after one three-pointer in one game. People start tweeting, and why are they so into Korkmaz so much?
Because I said he can't play.
So that's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's 1,000%
I said he can't play, and people want to think that they know more, and that's fine. Again, I'm 100-0. Like, I'll stand on my record. Now, maybe I was 100. Maybe Nick Foles. 99-1.
We'll find out.
All right. Now, regarding Penn State. On TV, I'm making gyrations. I'm speechless. I am without speech when it comes to Penn State. I got nothing.
Sorry for your loss.
I'll bet you are.
No, I'm actually upset about the game.
She texts me.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not wounded enough. I got to get a text from Miss Temple.
What'd she text?
What did you text me?
It was a good one.
What's happening?
I'll let you read it.
This show on show crime.
I had a really good snappy retort, but I won't put that out there.
No.
Oh, no. More show on show crime?
I deserved it. It was good.
No, it was not a show on show crime. Did you text me? Let me see here. Was this during your wedding that you text me?
No,
wedding that you went to?
No, that was on Saturday.
Oh, the wedding was Friday.
The wedding was Friday.
Oh, the wedding was Friday.
Yeah.
Well, you tell me what you tweeted. I mean, you texted me. Well, I
said tough loss for the Knits.
Tough loss for the Knits. She used the word Knits because I affectionately refer to Penn State as the Knits. So she used it as a wet towel slap to the face.
I wasn't
wounded enough watching that game.
I was just sending my condolences, Mike. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't have anything to say. I don't know what to say. I'm like completely beaten down.
Sometimes you win.
I was really rooting for the 10-0 Ohio State, 10-0 Penn State matchup. I was looking forward to it legitimately. And the Penn State loss kind of took some of the wind out of the sails for what I had envisioned for college football season. Like, I'm looking forward to LSU, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State was on the list. There were certain games. Utah, Oregon, all these games I'm looking forward to, and I get nothing now.
I have no speech. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show right here on 97.5 FNAC.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Football Monday on the Fanatic. Brought to us the 2 o'clock hour by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling jobs. Time to start the Twitter poll. That's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. You know, with autumn here and a lawn full of leaves, it's time you head over to Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. Shop their selection of battery or gas-powered blowers to help you clear your yard with ease. They got great blowers anymore, I'm telling you. Visit paulbmoyer.com for store hours. My blower's like this. That's the power I have in my blower.
You need a new one.
Yeah, I do. Matt, what's today's Twitter poll?
Today's poll, Mike, has over 100 votes so far on it. Does the Dallas loss give you real hope the Eagles will win the division? 80% say yes, 20% say no. So people are feeling pretty good today.
All righty. Thank you very much. By the way, with all the Quirkmaz tweets and emails that I've gotten, I have forged a saying that I took right from the book of the Dalai Laminelli.
Oh! I like the Dalai Laminelli. Oh, I like that.
Says this about the situation. Desperation and longing make some folks overvalue worth.
Fair. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that is something we've been guilty of in this city.
Totally guilty of in this city.
A lot of
times.
We've
defined the whole thing in this city. How many players did we overreact to for a temporary respite?
This one's weird. And you want to know why this one's weird? because he's a worse player than most of the players we usually gravitate to.
he's not worse than Justin Anderson.
Yeah, no, yes, he is.
No, he was not.
You see, we have to remember.
Anderson was an oaf, man. Come on.
You got to remember one thing.
What?
About that. Korkmaz, and I'm glad he's making shots. Like, I want, people say, oh, you're rooting against him. They say the same thing to me that they say to you. I hope he develops to be Michael Jordan. I really do. I think he's Jim Jordan. But Korkmaz was available for every team to sign and signed with the Turkish League. And then as a flyer.
Yeah.
The Sixers brought him back, and now he's playing above the minimum standard.
The people are saying, well, he had to have time to develop. And that's fair. And he may have developed. I hope I'm wrong. And maybe he has come out of the woodwork to develop and be an NBA player. I hope. God bless him. 99-1.
These people go nuts. People go nuts for him, though. He makes 1-3. Every hashtag on Sixers Outsiders. Korkmaz, oh, my, watch out. I told you he's going to be a great player.
Let's go through the teams. All right, now, last year's Philly team had a bunch of them, all those pitchers. I remember, how about Freddie Galvis?
Yes.
What about the overreaction of Freddie Galvis?
The standing ovation.
Yes. City. Yes. Right? Freddie Galvis. Let's move to the Flyers. Gossip Bear?
I mean,
he had a run.
He did. Now he doesn't have a run.
No, the coach has been pretty tough on the ghost.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, so you can go through the temps
Eagles
that have captivated this family.
Eagles, it's always a wide receiver, like Paul Turner.
Yep.
Always a wide receiver.
Oh,
classic.
The Paul Turner that goes back
for years. People thought the fact that Freddie Mitchell, no disrespect, had an actual nickname before, because they called him Fred X and all that stuff, because we were hoping that he would be the piece that completed McNabb and all those guys. Yeah. It didn't happen. No disrespect, I'm just saying, how does a guy who has that few catches have a nickname? Because we were begging for Freddie to be the guy.
We just want to kind of wish it into reality.
We do, and it goes back to my saying, desperation and longing make some folks overvalue worth.
Dom Brown had two good months in his whole career. There was a little sliver of light.
He was supposed to be something. He was a highly talented prospect, so I don't know if he's in the category. We overreact to guys. I know we do. So, like, it's part of our charm. Let's go to the phone. Steve in South Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. How you guys doing?
What's up, Steve?
Well, great day on this great Veterans Day for the people we should be cheering for.
Yes.
Anyway, Mike, I'm going to throw a comment in there about Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Speechless, but Franklin will never win the big game. All right? He beat a Michigan team that was pretty not that greatest squad. And if you're looking for his career, problem there, I watched the Michigan State game, and half his calls came in the Minnesota game. I watched every minute of that play. That's my opinion.
That seems to be a prevailing reaction since he's 1-7. Against ranked teams on the road. But again, like the defensive coordinator in this game, I watch the game, I'm going, how's Minnesota? Every pass they throw is wide open. Like, I don't understand. The Penn State defense was supposed to be a good defense. They were supposed to be able to cover. They got shredded.
There's 10 to 15 across the middle. What a nightmare they did to us all game long.
Yeah.
Okay. The Sixers, Mike, Abid, suspended 2 games, ankle injury at the beginning of the season. It's unacceptable. That's my opinion. We've seen the great Abid, and we see what he can be, but it's unacceptable, his condition. I agree with you 100%. It's unacceptable.
Listen, man, any other player who would be out of shape, I'd be saying the same thing about. And any other player who would do that WWE thing, I'm consistent. No, I dislike Embiid. He's a main player for this team. I can't wait for him to get in shape. In the offseason, what would we say? He's got to get in better shape. He's got to lose weight. He looks to me like he needs to lose more weight.
He does, Mike. He's a key-to-key player. That's the best way to describe him. He doesn't go under the basket. He'll go to the key and then head back.
Well, he's loafing because he's not in shape. He's going from circle to circle like he did last year. He was beat up in the playoffs. We saw that whole thing. I don't want to see that anymore.
Neither do I. Mike, one last quick point. Carter Hart's last 2 games, especially last night.
The Flyboys are back! Playoff run, baby!
Mike, I'm wearing
Look out!
I'm Flyers from my shoes up today, represent.
Look at the Flyers captivating the town. Tyrod, well, they went 2 in a row?
4 in a row.
Oh, they won 4 in a row?
Yes.
They
won a back-to-back, yeah, but they won 4 in a row, 2 in a row on the road.
Wow. I see. That's bad on me. It's a bad job on me.
2 shootout. They on the road in Toronto, in Boston. And Boston's a real team.
Yeah.
Boston's a real team.
That's a big win. Yeah, back-to-back, beating the Bruins, beating the Maple. That's right. And they beat the Canadians at home. And Hurricane. That's 4 really good wins for
them. No, they're rolling along.
Five of the last six.
There's something there. And that's without Giroux playing. Giroux has not been good. Some people think he might have been banged
22
up.
22 points already. 10-5.
This long season. I am worried. There is one thing to be very concerned about, though. Mm-hmm. They've played a tremendous amount of extra hockey.
Yeah.
They've gone to all these shootouts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to add up.
You keep having to take its toll.
You keep playing all these overtimes. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's going to. And back-to-back overtimes. But this coach is a good coach. He looks like he's a real coach.
Yep.
So there's that.
All right. I gotta get on the horse. I gotta admit, I've been lax with my Flyer attention because I've been occupied by other things.
Yeah, but there'll be plenty of time. That's the one issue with hockey.
I was totally occupied by the college football game.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You're in the jam there. And then there was a conflict with the Sixers last night, and they playing at the same time. So you have to pick. So you have to pick the one that the people will more talk about. So you're in the jam.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. I had a hard time seeing the Sixers struggle with that Charlotte team in the second quarter there. But they straightened it out.
It's so odd. They win the other three quarters by 22 and lose that quarter by 14.
Yeah, that Charlotte team stinks.
They're terrible.
Yeah, they really are. Let's go to Dave in Center City. What's up, Dave?
What's shaking, 18?
What's going on, Dave?
Mikey Miss, all is not lost. I'm still researching the remaining schedules.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Knits run the table and get a little bit of help, they could sneak back into the Final Four.
You actually think they're going to beat Ohio State?
Well,
come on, man.
Much like four years ago.
Ohio State is favored by 52 this Saturday over Rutgers.
Yeah, that's comical.
52!
I'm embarrassed.
Mike, before I get down to business, big bravo to Anthony. The midday show's better than ever, and if you factor in Sal Tunis, the best sixth man in all of sports talk radio, I'll tell you what, when the next rating books come out, Dumb and Dumber at the end of the dial are in for a big surprise. But let me get down to business. Mike, midway into your
sometimes
number
two. You mean well, but you say things that are like, you know, I don't know, you're a paradox. But go ahead, finish your second point.
Now, this is very important, Mike.
Uh-huh.
By year two, we know Kapler had to go. By the same token, in that same time frame, we knew Dougie Pete is a modern-day Bill Belichick. Which brings me to Brett Brown. He is in his seventh year, and we are seeing the same stubbornness in him that we went through with Andy Reid. There are 4 reoccurring shortcomings under his six-year reign, and there's no correction in sight.
What are the shortcomings? What are his shortcomings?
The habitual blowing of huge double-digit leads, the habitual number of double-digit turnovers, which is the norm, the habitual lack of play calling and offensive continuity and crunch time, not to mention his lack of feel for the correct substitution rotation. Mm-hmm. He's got to go. I love you guys.
They're 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the time to say he's got to go. Now, the turnovers are a concern. But, you know, the thing about a team that wants to play fast is they're going to turn the ball over. Now, and there are some, like the point guard situation is out of whack right now. So, they're going to, I don't know what to think about the turnover. I would like to see him with less turnover. I would like to see him play with a little more discipline. I agree.
The one thing he doesn't like to do, and I thought he should have done it in the Denver game, he doesn't like to do the set play.
Mm-hmm.
He
doesn't like to do
that. And right. I get why, because of it becomes predictable over time, but there's times for it.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
He doesn't like to do that. And I think that would cut down. Let's say he did 5 of those a game even.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be 3-4 less turnovers, and that would make a big difference. So it's a mix, but that's another reason. Fast, and he doesn't like to call
the set play. You got to really look at this and go, okay, they've lost two games without Ben, one game without Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the three losses.
Yep.
So it's really not fair, like, right now to go, Brett should go. You know, a certain part of the, if they're struggling, like, deep into the season, then obviously we're going to look at it a little closer. I'm trying not to pay attention to these early games.
And it's not his fault if Embiid turns it over eight times. That's definitely not the coach.
Yeah.
That's the player.
Yeah. All right, let's go Matt in Old City. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Matt?
First, my Eagles point. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles need to cut Sproles and sign a fullback. They're easily a run team with these wide receivers. And three of the top teams in the NFL have four running teams with fullbacks, and the Patriots, 49ers. I saw the Vikings last night, which is what reminded me of that. So that was my quick Eagles point to help our running game.
They're not going
to
get a fullback.
Yeah, I know.
They run 12 personnel, so they run double tight instead of the fullback.
Yeah, I know. I just saw Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, the same play, and they triggered that huge touchdown. So
one play, though.
I know, but it's the idea.
It's one play. I'm not so sure that, like, what team uses a regular fullback?
For the 49ers are undefeated.
They use it for the majority of their offensive plays?
Yeah.
They do?
Majority of their offensive plays, they have fullback in, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's one team. Nobody else does it.
The Vikings have one, but
they don't do that every game either.
He's in there a lot. But my main point is the Flyers are back, and I'm so excited. It's been the first time in like a decade.
Well, you think they're back officially?
I think they're officially back. They're fast. They're young.
Desperation and longing makes some folks overvalue worth.
I agree, but I think they're, I don't know, it's just something different. They're flying around. I went and I woke up this morning and bought season tickets. I'm all fired up for them.
Okay, well, listen, it's great. They're one four in a row. That's good. That's 8 points. If I do the math right. That's a good 8 points for the Flyboys.
It is.
Let's go to Jay and Ambler. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Mike, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Jay?
I'm going Flyers. We are talking Flyers today. They deserve it after last night. They played four games in 6 days. They won all of them. Mm-hmm. Six out of the last seven. 6-1-1 at home this year. Boston was in the finals last year. Flyers were on a back-to-back, went into Boston, who's undefeated at home, and dominated that game. Yeah, they tied it up late, but if you watch the game, I know people were watching the Sixers and football was on, but the Flyers really dominated that game. And the young guys are carrying the team, and that's without getting production from Van Riemsdyk, Voracek, Ghost. So you got all these kids, Konechny, Lindblom, Farabee, Hart, Myers, Provorov, Sanheim, 23 and under, carrying the team.
Well, that's Ron Hextall regime. That was the
Ron Hextall was good at identifying prospects.
It's the Hexy regime. That's like it's like Ed Wade giving Ruben Amaro a boost.
Mike, and we're winning shootouts.
About that.
We're winning
shootouts. I know, it's a new day, bro.
A little bit quick stats for you. Last 11 games, 28-30 on the penalty kill. That's a 93% clip.
Oh, man, the PK.
Seventh in power play. Ninth
the PP.
In the PP.
Uh-huh.
Ninth in shots on goal in the NHL. Third in shots against, which means in the NHL, the Philadelphia Flyers are the number one team in shot differential. AV has got these guys flying.
I'm glad to see it, bro. You sound like a big Flyer fan. I want you to be happy.
Let's get it. All go right. Flyers.
Let's get it.
AV?
I like the Flyer talk. You know, the Flyers talk today.
We need it.
Yeah.
It needs to be in the mix, and they deserve it.
Boston is going to get a lot of people pay more attention. They've been laboring in relative obscurity, even though they had won three in a row.
I actually asked the Flyers crew, because I got to see them because of the conflict. And they thought that the Boston was a more of a measuring stick.
Of course it is.
They didn't think that the Toronto game, even though they have some high-end players, was it. But Boston, that's real.
It's a big win. 610-622-0975. Kevin in Newcastle. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, Mike. What's the PP in hockey?
It's power play.
Oh, power play.
And the PK, penalty kill.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. I want to talk about the Sixers. First thing about Brent Brown, he did say in his press conference at the game that the turnovers are a problem now, mm-hmm. and that the players are going to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's
I'm not sure what that means, that they're going to be held accountable.
Yeah.
So. You know.
But Embiid and Horford, man, I am really liking Horford's game. Embiid has always been a lazy passer. Maybe it's because of his condition. I don't know. But I'm
watching. You're right about that. He makes a lot of careless passes.
Yeah, I'm watching Horford, how he spins, and he got the basket. Mm-hmm. Embiid spins into a double team because he doesn't have any court awareness. That's what I see, Mike. He doesn't have court awareness. You know,
listen, so, it's not like he hasn't dominated a lot of games.
I just see court awareness is very weak.
I just need the guy to be in better shape, to be bouncing around a little more. He lumbers a little too much. Even now, I expected not to see as much lumbering this year.
And one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's always falling.
He falls for a variety of reasons, but I don't think that's a big deal.
He's going to get hurt probably. I mean, all the time that he falls, man. You know,
He knows how to fall. He breaks his fall. He knows, like, he's okay. He's perfected falling.
Okay, yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. One point about the Eagles. Like I said before, I'm just going to take one game mm-hmm. at a time.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
You got to. One game at a time. But I'm looking at a three-game. I look at it the bigger picture, which is three tough games. They have three tough games. The other games are ridiculous. You know, they can't possibly lose the Giants and the Redskins. So the three games, I'm looking at, okay, they lose the next two. Let's take the worst-case scenario. Lose the next two. They have to win a big game in Dallas, our home. They should win that game. They really should. The Cowboys are not that good.
Yeah, but did you see in that game, in addition to the fact the quarterbacks played well.
The receivers?
They were making some tough catches out there. Right. Both teams, they're making tough catches.
Total tough catches. But I'm looking at this game and I'm going, people are under the impression, oh my God, they're never going to be able to beat the Cowboys at home. Why not? The Cowboys could lose to anybody on any game.
But you have to make some plays, and that's my issue.
I get it. And you also, maybe you can control the ball on them. I don't know.
Somebody has to make, like the Vikings ran like 11 times in a row at one point.
Yeah.
But they still had guys that made some plays.
Well,
who on this team, Mike, is going to make a play?
You're right. I'm crossing my fingers that a predominant running game plus a defense that's okay will be enough to beat Dallas at home. I don't think I'm going too far on a limb, right? I really don't. If it was a good team coming in, I go, all right, but this Dallas team is like, they're struggling to get to 10.
You know what? I'm now at the point where they're going to finish 11-5 or 9-7.
The Eagles?
Yep, they're not going to finish 10-6. They're either, because this is what I would need. I need mm-hmm. them to split one of the next two so that I can believe they can win Dallas.
Uh-huh.
So I think they're now, I'm at 9-7, which would be just win the games they're supposed to.
Right.
Or they get to split and beat Dallas, and that's 11. I'm at 9 or 11. Uh-huh. I think 10 is now impossible. Because I think if they lose both of these, they also lose to Dallas.
All right. We shall see. 610-632-0975. By the way, Tyrone, I forgot my sheets.
The show sheets.
I know I have a commercial coming up.
Some
great people, Bradford White.
No, I put them in there.
So, I don't know what happened.
They're in there. I put them under the phone.
Is that them right back there?
Where?
Behind the wire, behind the monitor.
In here?
Yeah, is that it?
No. Maybe I could. It's possible.
Do you have it?
I left them in the show.
No, I brought them in.
I may have left them in the show prep room.
Well, hold on.
Do you need me to go get them?
Grab the book. Grab the book, Natalie. Grab the book. Hand me the book. This is all live radio, folks.
Seamless radio.
Give me the book.
Now on television.
With the Mike Miss book.
Yeah. Right, you got the Mike Miss book?
Yeah. All right.
Bring in the Mike Miss book, Nat. And
all right, take this to him.
Okay.
All right.
I wish I memorized these commercials, folks. I could and I should, you know, be able to do them by heart.
We'll get everything worked out during this commercial.
I want to get it smooth, and I don't want to miss a word for the great folks at Bradford Whitewater Heaters.
Natalie's bringing it in now.
Thank you, Nat. So it is the Mike Mussinelli Show. And this one line open is 610-771-97. No, wait. 610-632-0975. I got numbers. I got concepts running through my head. I'm completely blocked up. And you know why? Because frickin' Penn State lost on Saturday. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
2:46. Mike Mussinelli Show. Football Monday. It's brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for a heating contractor who will do whatever it takes to keep you warm this season. All right, a little later tonight, the Fanatic Pro Show, Brian Westberg, and he'll join us, by the way, for his assessment of the Eagles situation now after you watch last night's Sunday night football game as the Cowboys go down to the Minnesota Vikings. Dalvin Cook's pretty good, man. Yeah, he's not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
I don't know if you heard, but the Eagles had him on their draft board, and they were looking to do it, and the Vikings just snuck up and took him away from him.
Yeah, they did.
That's what Doug said earlier in the year.
That's what he said, I know. And then they got great value. Got first round value that year.
Yeah, it's Sidney Jones.
Correct.
He won't be dressed this Sunday.
Yeah. Well, it's early in his career.
Is it? Because I feel like the sands from the hourglass.
Trying to be kind here. You know?
Let me ask you. Will he be
kind? People say, well, you keep saying you told me so. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm staying away from Sidney.
I'm asking you a question. Do you think he'll be on the Eagles next year?
Good, really good question.
Now, remember, Darby and Mills are both free agents.
I would say yes.
Okay. So that means he'll definitely be in the league.
I would say they'll give him another year to develop.
Okay.
I don't know that, though. Because depending on how the season ends up, you might get the general manager like really making all kinds of moves and saying, okay, I've had it now with relying on guys. Now I'm going to mix the whole thing up. I don't know how it's going to happen. Let's go to Joey in Philly. Joey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joey.
Mikey Mitz, what's happening?
What's up, buddy?
Well, I want to start off with saying 30 and 22. Do you know what those numbers are?
No.
Those are Carson Wentz's win-loss records since 2016. Mm-hmm. Also, injured 50% of his time here in Philadelphia. So my point is this. Does that sound like a $128 million quarterback to you?
Well, listen, I don't know. It's too early to determine.
4 years?
Look at Jared Goff. Were they saying that in L.A.? I mean, last year they said it. Are they saying it this year? I who knows?
Whoa.
Who knows about these young quarterbacks?
The difference between Goff and Wentz is Goff played in a playoff game.
Yeah, with a pretty good personnel around them.
This is my point. Now, let me backtrack for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about Joel Embiid and his antics. Joel Embiid is the number one athlete in this city. Number one. He delivers on the court. He's entertaining. Total package. Bryce Harper is 1A. Carson Wentz, in my opinion, is the most overrated quarterback.
Did Carson have a bad game Sunday or something?
No. It's not
that. Wait, where was it? The Ducks on the log cabin?
It's the stats I just provided to you. He's just the most.
You've been hating Carson Wentz for the whole week, and you decided to call on a Monday after they don't play? Are you saving this up or what?
Would you prefer a Tuesday?
I'm just saying, what on Monday would prompt you to go anti-Wentz?
This is my thing. Okay, this is my thing. We've given Carson Wentz 4 years, every excuse in the book, and we're going to lose this division this year to Dallas.
We haven't yet. You know, if they get into the playoffs and they win their division, are you going to be anti-Wentz?
No, that wouldn't be the case, but that's not, most likely isn't going to happen.
I mean, most likely. The percentage they're going to win a division is high.
I don't think so.
Why did we just explain it? If they win one of the next three games, go 10-6, they would win a tiebreak with Dallas.
Mike, they're not the best team in the division. It's that simple.
Well, who is? Dallas?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? The Eagles have a chance to win the division over Dallas, and then what would you say?
Well, that's where Carson Wentz has to prove to me, and in my opinion.
All right, but it's not over yet. They have a chance to win a division. If they don't, your call would have a little more merit.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Carson Wentz, he's supposed to be on another level, top tier, top five quarterbacks in the NFL who elevates team members around him, his receivers. He has to elevate everyone else's game.
Yeah, there's only guy that elevates receivers around him is Tom Brady. There's not many quarterbacks that elevate their receivers unless they have another dimension like Lamar Jackson or Mahomes has pretty good personnel too.
So does Houston.
And Houston with the
Sean Watson. They got good players.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is the day you go anti-Wentz. Like, he lost, did he lose?
Nothing happened.
And the other weird part is he said that Dallas is a better team. So hold on. If Dallas is better, and you lose to a better team, the reason people got on McNabb is because McNabb was the favorite. They had the better team, and they lost the game, and many people thought they lost it because of him.
Well, he's applying the same rationale to Wentz. He's saying, since you are that kind of money quarterback, it's up to you to carry your team if you don't have the best.
McNabb was better and lost. He's saying that Dallas is better, but now he has to win despite that fact.
Well, yeah,
NFC Championship games at home.
He's putting the responsibility of being one of the top three paid quarterbacks on it. That's not unfair. It comes with expectations.
It also usually comes with weapons because you don't pay a quarterback a fortune and give them Aguilar.
It's a classic barroom argument. Should Wentz be able to elevate mediocre weapons? If he's that good,
I would say yes.
The people would say yes.
I don't think they have mediocre weapons.
If he is paid like that kind of quarterback, then he should be able to elevate. But the other part of it is these receivers stink so bad. How can you elevate them? You know, it's an argument that goes nowhere. Jeff in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Mike, I've been calling you for years about tiebreakers, and you are giving your callers false information about the 10-6 tiebreaker with Dallas and the Eagles. Can I explain?
Go ahead.
All right. All you got to do is look at the two non-common games with the Eagles and Dallas, and that's we lost to Atlanta, they lost to New Orleans, so that's a wash. The next one is Seattle and the Rams. We play Seattle, they play the Rams. If we beat Seattle and they lose to the Rams, they get the tiebreaker. If it's the reverse, we get the tiebreaker. That's it. That's all that matters is the Rams and Seattle games for the two teams coming
That's
up.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I don't believe you're correct.
No tiebreakers, Mike.
The tiebreaker goes head-to-head, and then best one-loss tie percentage in games played within the division.
Correct.
And then the third one is common opponents.
That's right.
Yes, not uncommon opponents. It's common opponents.
No, I understand that, Mike, but the shortcut is you just figure out the two non-common games, and that will lead you to the common games. Okay? So they both lost to the NFC South opponent, Atlanta and New Orleans. So the way it works is if the Eagles beat Seattle and Dallas loses to the Rams, Dallas will have a better common opponent tiebreaker. That's it. And if it's reversed, then the Eagles win it. So what I'm trying to say is...
Where's Dallas playing the Rams? The Eagles aren't playing the Rams.
That's correct.
Dallas played the Rams. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But So what I'm saying is, if the next two games, New England and Seattle, the more important game is New England for the Eagles to win that game.
All right, we'll have to look at it. We'll have to look at it a little closer.
I
think he's overcomplicated.
Right, because the Eagles play the Patriots at home. Dallas plays the Patriots, so they go into the common opponents. Now, the Eagles beat the Packers. Dallas lost to the Packers. So right this second, right now, if it was common opponents, the Eagles would be ahead.
Yes.
But you continue with the common opponents. So the non-common opponents don't matter. If the Eagles beat the Patriots, and then, but if Patriots beat both Dallas and the Eagles, common opponent, that's a loss for both. And I think both teams will lose to the Patriots, by the way. I think the Eagles lose Sunday, and I think Dallas loses in New England.
You're not buying it. The Eagles can pull this off, huh?
Not at all. Not until I see a player make a play. Not until I see. I need somebody to take a bad pass by the quarterback.
What's the current line?
What is 3.5
Really?
Patriots favorite 3.5 in Philadelphia.
Ooh, slender.
I will admit,
it's a little short. Put my heart in a blender. 3 o'clock hours coming your way. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.